15 minutes of neat stuff for kids.
Greetings, amazing humans, and welcome to another 15 minutes of neat stuff for kids. I'm your host, Miss Lauren, and I invite you to join me as we explore different areas of our world that spark our interest. Boy, is it great to be back. Thank you so much for your patience in this episode coming out. We had all three of the triple-demic right in a row, and it was not fun. But this week, our topic is oceans, part two, in the depths. This week, let's do a deep dive to the ocean floor, because you guys, this is bananas. When you think about the deep parts of the ocean, what do you think about? Darkness. Glowing fish. Volcanoes? What? Volcanoes? That's right. There are tons and tons of volcanoes on the ocean floor. And volcanoes that have gone off repeatedly have built up over time to create literal islands in the ocean. And some of those islands, if you went down to the ocean floor, would be taller than Mount Everest, which is the tallest mountain on the surface of the Earth. That's how deep it goes. Anyway, as you go deeper into the ocean, which scientists have been doing more and more, there is a lot that is still unknown and undiscovered about the deepest parts of the ocean. And scientists that explore down there have to use equipment that is just as intricately designed as the equipment that goes into outer space. Because it is extreme down there. Water is super heavy. Can you lift a glass of water? I bet you can. Can you lift a gallon of water? Like one of those jugs? Great! How about 5-gallon jugs? This is just the beginning. Now, when you travel way down deep, there is like a literal ton of water on you. Hence all the special equipment in the submarine so you don't get crushed. But there are also a ton of cool creatures that are just living their best lives in the darkness with all of that intense pressure from the weight of the water. Many fish and species create their own light. The rays from the sun can't reach that far, so these organisms have evolved to create light inside their bodies, with one substance reacting with another inside themselves. Some of these fish use it to attract other fish, like anglerfish, which has this bioluminescent bulb at the end of this long, what looks like a fishing pole attached to its head. And it uses it to attract fish close enough to where it can eat them. Fishing for fish with bioluminescence. They're like, here, look at this cool light. JK, I'm gonna eat you. Ah! Like, if you ever needed to come up with some sort of space alien creature, just look at some of the pictures of these deep sea creatures, because they are out of this world cool. Some are like super narrow, so they can hardly be seen from below or above. Some sharks, like the cookie cutter shark, which is so named because it takes bites out of its prey that looks like little cookie shapes. They cover themselves in some bioluminescence so that they look like a much smaller fish. And then wham, they take a cookie bite out of you. And then there's the gulper eel that looks like if you combined a big mouth from the pelican with a regular eel, in that it has this enormous mouth for gulping in fish. You can find even more at seasky.org for fun. And now it's time for our song! Catch me, but don't eat me. Your head is like a fishing pole. Your teeth have rows and rows and rows. You're scary and savvy and bright as can be. It's like you've got a nightlight or a spotlight for me. Oh, anglerfish, catch me, but don't eat me. Oh, anglerfish, catch me, but don't eat me. Oh, anglerfish, catch me, but don't eat me. I love you.
thrust out your nose into the sea, finding what you can catch before you see, until your light glows in the dark and you can feel that snack might make you fart. So, anglerfish, catch me, but don't eat me. Oh, anglerfish, catch me, but don't eat me. Oh, anglerfish, catch me, but don't eat me. I love you, but I like being alive. Yes, your light is cool, and I will always swim toward it. But please, don't eat me.
And now it's time for our story, The Ocean Floor Barbecue. Beatrice Bilby bounced with excitement as she and her mom swam, carrying a plethora of delicious grillable items. She wondered if you could tell just by looking at her brain that she was excited, for they were barrel-eyed fish, so their heads were clear and their brains fully visible, but she thought not. She was excited because today was the day of the neighborhood volcanic barbecue. Every month, the neighbor fish, eels, and other creatures all brought delicious things to grill over the open lava volcano at the bottom of the ocean. Plus, they brought condiments, which Beatrice Bilby especially loved. Pickles and ketchup, anyone? And they were on their way. But before they could even arrive at the great crack in the Earth's crust that spewed hot barbecuing lava into the ocean, Beatrice spotted Susie Stillwater, a gulper eel with an enormous mouth capable of eating 50 veggie patties in one gulp, who also happened to be her best friend.
Mom, I love you, but can I go?
Started Beatrice. Play with Susie, of course, replied her mom. Just make sure you come back when we're ready to eat.
Thanks, Mom,
yelled Beatrice as she swam as fast as her tiny fins could take her towards Susie without actually bumping into her.
Hey there, Beatrice, said Susie.
Hey, Susie, good to see you. Want to play?
Said Beatrice. The two friends cavorted merrily down the path until they saw their classmate, Al, the anglerfish, bopping toward some seashell frisbees. They whispered to each other.
Hey, it's Al. Should we say hi? Whispered Susie.
I don't know. He isn't very nice. He always says mean things to me and calls me beetle butt, whispered Beatrice.
I know. Why does he even do that? Whispered Susie.
I have no idea. I am neither a beetle nor a butt,
half-whispered Beatrice, but accidentally shouted butt so that Al came swimming over with the seashell frisbees, seemingly wanting to play.
Hey there, Susie. Hey, good old beetle butt, shouted Al.
The girls gave each other a sidelong look and said, Hi, Al. How are you?
I'm super duper, and I'm gonna eat, like, the most barbecue. I am definitely gonna eat way more barbecue than you guys. Like, you won't even stand a chance. You'll be so bad at eating.
That's a weird thing to be competitive about, dude, said Susie, as she could see that Beatrice was getting worked up.
Beatrice was indeed getting worked up! How dare he say that she was bad at eating? But then she thought, what if I really am bad at eating and I never knew it? How does one even know if one is bad at eating? Are there special judges that assess how fast you chew? Are there medals awarded? What happens if you burp or fart? Do those add points or subtract them? But her thoughts were interrupted when Al said,
You guys want to play seashell frisbee?
Because for Al, he had three older brothers who would tease him and call him nicknames, and he really couldn't compete with them. So he just did what he knew and passed it along to others. He knew it didn't feel the best when his brothers did that to him, but it had become so ingrained and so normal that he didn't really think anything of it. It was just what you do.
All right, said Susie.
Fine,
said Beatrice, who gave Susie a wide-eyed look because she really didn't want to play with Al, since most of the things he did and said were not nice. They took turns throwing that seashell to each other, which was mildly fun. Beatrice couldn't complain.
was Al really not so bad? Things were going swimmingly until Beatrice fumbled the frisbee and it bounced to the ocean floor. "Whoops," she said. But to her dismay, Al began laughing and pointing at her.
"Ha ha ha ha, you dropped it. You're so stupid," he said
with a mean grin on his face. It is always a mean smile if you are laughing when something bad happens to someone else. There really are no two ways about that. It just feels bad. And Beatrice did indeed feel bad. Her big, bulbous eyes welled up with water and recycled themselves back into the ocean water. And she swam away and hid under a rock. Susie looked at Al, who looked at her and said,
"What? She fumbled it. What was I supposed to do?"
Susie rolled her eyes and swam over to Beatrice.
"Oh, why is he so mean?"
Beatrice cried. "I have no idea, but no one is going to want to be his friend if he treats people like that," said Susie.
"But no one will want to be my friend because I'm stupid and I drop frisbees," wailed Beatrice.
"I'll be your friend," said Susie. "And I think maybe let's tell Al we won't play with him if he laughs at us and calls us stupid."
"Ugh, you want to play with him?" wailed Beatrice again.
"Well, no, but I would want a second chance if it were me," said Susie.
"Fine, but no third chances."
So Beatrice took a slow, cleansing breath of ocean water, and she and Susie swam back over to Al, who was throwing the seashell with himself.
"Oh, are you guys ready to play again?"
said Al. "Not quite." And they explained how they would play together as long as Al didn't call them names or tease them when they made a mistake. Al listened and sort of understood, but also his brothers did that to him all the time, so he didn't really get what the big deal was. So the three played again, and this time Susie dropped the seashell, and Al started to laugh at her. And he said,
"Ha, you're so stupid.
He tried not to make fun of Susie, but it was so much of a habit. The girls stared at him and decided in that moment to end the game, as they had told him they weren't going to play with someone that called them names. So they swam back to their moms to get some delicious food together. Al felt sad. He swam to his mom, too, and sulked.
"Mom, Susie and Beatrice stopped playing with me. They made me feel bad."
"Oh, no, honey. Are you okay? Do you know why they did that?" his mom asked.
No, I don't."
"If I asked them about it, would they tell me?" she prodded.
"Well, they might say that I laughed at them when they dropped the seashell and maybe that I called them some names."
"Huh. Well, it sounds like they had maybe a good reason not to play with you. What do you want to do now?"
Al and his mom came up with a plan to write a note to Susie and Beatrice, telling them he would try better next time. They also made sure that his brothers knew that it also wasn't okay for them to do that to Al either. It really doesn't make anybody feel good to be laughed at when they make a mistake or to be called names that they don't like. But as far as the barbecue went, it was absolutely delicious. Susie and Beatrice had a great time with their moms and roasted some seaweed with soy sauce that was out of this world good. The end. What do you do when kids aren't playing very nicely? Good thought. Do you give them a second chance? But if they keep behaving badly, do you ask an adult for help? Good! Kids are learning how to be good friends, and it is okay to set a boundary and then ask an adult for help if that isn't being respected. Good talk. And now it's time for an experiment. This week, we will have some fun in the tub. There are many experiments to do in the bathtub. First off, fill up the tub, and before you hop in, notice how high the water is on the side. You can mark it with a washable marker, if that's okay. Great. Now, step in and sit down. Does the water level go up or down? Why, do you think? Do our bodies take up space in that water? Next, sink or float in the water to see how buoyant some of your toys are. Do they sink or float?
Why do you think? Now, if you can, bring in some ice cubes into the tub. Do those sink or float? Why do you think? Cool. Good work. Well, thank you so much for listening. I had such a fun time with you here today. And come back in 2-ish more weeks for 15 more minutes of Neat Stuff for Kids. I'm Lauren, and I hope you have the best day ever.
Catch me. Your light is cool, and I will always swim.